This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast 109. It is the 6th of September. It's around 6:30 p.m. and we're in the UK recording from London, Windsor and Leicestershire. We have today with us Henry Viola here at HT Viola as our co-host. And we are able to say welcome back to Wheelie Pete. He's going to give us a very brief update regarding his health circumstances. It's not going to have a rant, people, and then we're going to crack on and talk about the markets and what else we've got regarding some exciting stocks that we've had a look at that we think could be of interest to you. And we've got some news regarding our last guest who absolutely smashed it, Roger Green, to the extent we even had comments from his wife. So you've got loads to look forward to in this podcast. And we've got the winners for the July Twin Peaks Investing Podcast Portfolio Challenge and August, because it's been so busy and hectic that we didn't have a chance to put those out. So some people are in for some prizes. So we're going to talk about that all later on. But first, because he's been away, you know, despite the fact that Henry's been carrying the podcast with Alex for the past umpteen weeks, we're going to have to say hello to Pete. He's going to be brief. He's going to tell you what's been going on. Then we're going to find out what's been happening to Henry. So over to you, Pete. Say hello to your fans. They've all been waiting for you.
Yeah. Hello, everyone, again. I won't dwell on it. I mean, basically, there's progress in the sense that they sort of think they know what is causing the pain. There's not so much progress in that it's not obvious what the solution is, because the kind of solutions they would do on an able-bodied person, they can't do on me. So it's a little bit frustrating. I've got a meeting with a pain clinic towards the end of September. That might help, although my expectation's pretty low. There's some other tests they're going to do, which might come up with something. But, you know, it's typically frustrating. But I am pleased that we do seem to be nailing down what the problem is. And it isn't, you know, isn't anything seriously nasty. So that's obviously good news, which I've pretty much figured out myself, because after 3 years, I'm still alive. So, you know, it can't be that bad. So, anyway, that's it. It's great to be back. And hello, everyone.
Cool beans. Now, Henry, do you want to share what's really been going on with you? I know some of your colleagues are going to be listening, so you might want to just temper what you share.
Well, for those listeners that feel that I'm looking a little bit worse for wear today, I was out at my work summer party last night. Had an absolutely marvellous time, had a few sherbets, then had a few more sherbets, then had a few more. And then I went for dinner with a very good friend of mine who came all the way down from Nottingham, my friend Frank, his wife Marjorie and daughter Alex. And it's the first time I've had the chance to see them in London. Had a lovely time. But I'm feeling a little bit tender today, so I'm very glad we've got Pete back with us to help give us a little bit of ballast and, prop me up, because I'm going to need it this time round.
Yeah, you might need to watch your starboard bow, mate, you know? Might just have to be careful. Right, okie dokie, ladies and gents. I won't tell you what I've been up to. Just the usual stuff, running around, doing mad things. We are where we are. Bit of good news. One of my ambassador colleagues at Memphis finished a 700-mile bicycle ride up and round the country in 7 days and raised over 30 grand for Memphis. He's been absolutely on it for the past couple umpteen months. And he absolutely smashed it and came back home on Saturday. So I'll be out with him and quite a few other people on Friday. So this coming Friday, when the podcast goes out in the evening, I'll be out with my boss and several other people from the Leicestershire business cohort. Saturday will be an absolute wipe off. So I'm warning you, if you don't see me all weekend, you know what's been happening. So that's all I need to share with you. Other than that, it's all good. Right, markets. Guys, I'm going to give you a little brief on the markets, where it finished today for the UK markets, then ask you what your thoughts are about what's been happening over the past 2 weeks since we left, and give you some update regarding a couple of stocks that were taken out. Since we spoke about it last, about markets and takeovers and profit warnings. I'm not sure which one wins, but at the moment it's probably profit warnings and takeovers, but they seem to be coming quite frequently. Right, so today our FTSE 100 closed at 7,426, down 11 points. FTSE All Share 4,048, down 7 points. Still holding up just above that 4,000 number that we need to keep it above. The FTSE AIM All Share still creeping lower and lower. I think we're going to touch that 700 point low, I think. It's going to be, if we're not careful. 736, down 3 points. So not great overall. But interestingly enough, and I'll get your opinions on where the markets are going. Since we last spoke about the markets and what was going on, comments that we've been talking about is that there's going to be more takeovers on AIM, there's going to be more takeovers on the FTSE. On the 30th of August, where is that? Wednesday, the Wednesday of last week, Bank Holiday Monday, was it? Then we had Bank Holiday Monday, then we had the Tuesday, and then we had the Wednesday, 29th of August. Instem, private equity firm, came out and said, we'll take that off your hands if we can, please. And they made a recommended cash offer of 833 pence per share, 41% premium to the Tuesday close of the 29th of August of £5.90. And essentially, this is another life sciences software company. But I know there's a few shareholders, including large plus 3% shareholders, that are not very happy about this takeover. So that's another one that's happened. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And then the second one, this week, Monday on the 4th, today is the 6th of September, we had a takeover for another pharma-related life sciences company, Ergomed, ticker symbol ERGO, AIM-listed company, $13.50 per share, again, a private equity company, Permira, with a 28% premium to Friday's close at 10.52. So that's two small caps going. If Alex was here, I think he'd be losing whatever hair he's got on top of his head. So more takeovers are coming, folks. Profit warnings are coming also. Let's go with you, Henry. What are you thinking regarding the markets, the takeovers, the profit warnings at the moment, mate?
Hard going. I mean, the takeovers seem like the natural conclusion to a cheap UK market, to be honest. We're very undervalued compared to the US, and I'm not surprised there's private equity buyers out there snapping deals at left, right and centre. The silver lining, if you can call it that, I've noticed a few headlines today. Apparently Andrew Bailey came out this afternoon, head of the Bank of England, and he's now uncertain about the need for additional interest rate rises in the UK. He feels that perhaps inflation is starting to drop. It might be baked in that prices are, or at least inflation is cooling, which would be good, because to be honest, the market is really screaming with the rates we've got already. The Canadian Central Bank has also just held their interest rates at 5%. I think that was announced earlier today. And so my hope is that perhaps, although we've had a really torrid 18 months of this, that maybe rates are going to hold steady now, and perhaps the market can, you know, take a breath and, you know, stop these precipitous declines we've been seeing.
John, I found the Andrew Bailey comments quite interesting, because one of the things that I think is a big concern, I'm pretty sure you guys mentioned it on podcast 108, oil prices have been really rising recently. And what really pushed them up in recent days was that the Saudis and Russia said they're going to keep their production cuts going for longer than they said they would before. So that's obviously going to reduce supply and has pushed up demand. But the other thing that's happening today, as a consequence, I think, of what the Bank of England governor said today, is that the pound's been really falling. Now, the problem you've got is if the pound falls, that becomes a problem for inflation within the UK. So you've got a higher oil price And you've got the translation effect of the pound dollar making actually oil more expensive for people in this country. So that puts the Bank of England under pressure to actually raise rates to try and support the pound. So I think it's quite a complex mix. And, you know, remember that Andrew Bailey is just the chairman of the Bank of England, you know, the Monetary Policy Committee. They could all vote differently to what he says. So it's, yeah. I think we're near the peak, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see one or two more little rises. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
I'm personally in the camp that we haven't seen the peak of, we've possibly seen the peak of inflation, but from the last numbers that we had, I think it's going to creep up again. And I think also there's going to be another interest rate rise at some point going forward. If we pause for a month, I still think there's going to be another one or maybe another two going forward. And to coincide what Pete said about the, I'm referencing it to the petrol prices, because there was, I think it was late July, mid-July, I was looking, I thought, oh, wow, look at that. It was like sub 140 for petrol, right? Unleaded, sorry. And sub 140 for diesel. And I thought, happy days, you know, it's falling down. It's falling down, falling down. Yeah. Where are we at? Where are we today? I'm looking at it again and we're back. There's a big gap now again between diesel and unleaded. We're looking at 140 plus for unleaded and 150 plus for diesel. So again, you know, I want to say the Russians, but OPEC and co are trying to make as much money as they possibly can by cut production, the price goes up. And they've done this so often. So I think that's going to impact inflation and also whether or not we get more inflation creeping back up for the month, and also interest rates going again. Another little whack across the bow that we don't particularly need.
I think
you guys looked at the food side of it as well. Pete, you go to Aldi all the time, so you're looking all the while.
Do you know what? That's interesting, because I would say increasing shop prices have not really hit in yet, you know, for the most recent rise. Because the thing is, wheat prices are gonna go up because that Russia Ukraine wheat deal fell through. And one of the things you notice that has gone up is potatoes. They have really gone up. That was the one that really stood out to me. I was in Aldi yesterday, funnily enough. And but other than that, I haven't really noticed much difference yet. But these things take a little while to feed through. There's a delay on all this stuff. So, you know, as you said earlier, Pete, I think core inflation, you know, has been sort of higher than they wanted. And I suspect that is going to remain the case and be sort of stubborn and a real pain. So, yeah, I think the other complication we've got when it comes to the markets, we are in that September, October period, and it can be a difficult time. We've also got, noticeable this week, incredibly low volumes. Yeah, you know, when there is no volume going around, it doesn't take much to move the markets.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. OK, done with the markets, guys. We're not going to mention what's going on in America. I think they're having a bit of a spanking at the first 2 hours of opening. So we'll see where they close towards the end of the day and how they finish for the week. But we're going to go to what everyone's now calling our US correspondent. He may or may not have a US stock or two today. He may even have a UK stock. But I spoke to Phil Oakley saying, please ask Henry to talk about a UK stock. So that's Phil Oakley making a special request to you, Henry. Have you got a UK stock for us today or not?
I have.
Are you going to start with that stock?
I am, just for Phil.
Well, there you go. He's listening, mate. So crack on.
I'm thrilled. The company I'm going to talk about today is a £550 million market cap infrastructure and private equity investment manager. If that sounds a little bit familiar, it's very similar to the work that Macquarie does over in Australia. This business operates through three segments: infrastructure, private equity, and capital management. And it's called Foresight Group. The ticker is FSG. The infrastructure segment manages over 350 assets, including solar and onshore wind, bioenergy and waste, renewable energy enabling projects, energy efficiency solutions, and what they describe as social and core infrastructure projects. Private equity does what it says on a tin. They've got both institutional and retail-focused funds. And capital management provides access to real assets and sustainable investment opportunities in listed markets. The business in the most recent year did about 120 million in revenue, generating 25 million pounds net profit. It pays about a 5% dividend yield, which is great for all those income seekers, and has a very juicy 25% return on capital employed. Forecasts to 2025 are for revenue to continue growing to 150 million and for earnings per share to nearly double to 43 pence a share in 2025. So that's one that if you've been reading about the returns Macquarie Bank is generating and want to get in on the game, you might want to have a look at Foresight Group.
Okay, how's it done so far this year, Henry? Because all those sort of stocks had a difficult year today, haven't they? And I think if investors, and they should be doing this actually, are looking far enough out, there's opportunities out there in the market right now. Could the share price go lower? Of course, with any stock. But if you're looking at how the returns could be, given the 5% dividend yield, and given the fact that share prices are lower than they should be, neglected, unloved, opportunities are out there, and there's going to be, even in this particular space, you know, possibly takeovers as well. Not that you should buy it for takeovers, by the way.
Yeah, interestingly, it's had quite a good year. It's actually up about 16% for the year.
Okay, so it's holding up well. So that's another good sign then.
It's holding up well. It's in a sustained uptrend channel. It's had some volatility, of course. I mean, the interest rate rises have caused huge volatility. Income seekers have been able to go to cash, etc. But it's been a persistently strong performer for many years, and I think that's helped support the share price.
Cool.
It's interesting because it hasn't been listed that long, has it? I was looking on the thing; it hasn't even got a 3-year chart showing on the app I look at. So
yeah, I think it listed back in 2021.
Yeah, so
they've
been
in business
long.
For a few years, but it only listed fairly recently.
I think as Peter said, I think asset management type stuff has had a rough time. This one's done better, and I think the reason is because it's more focused on the whole environmental green stuff. That's you know, the net zero, that's where all the interest is, and I think that's why it's doing better. And that looks a reasonable one to have, certainly for an income portfolio kind of thing. I don't think it's ever going to shoot the lights out. It's not going to, you know, you're not going to double your money overnight on it, but to be honest, in this kind of market, you don't want to go for things where you're going to double your money overnight, because you're more likely to have your money overnight.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah. Well, I'm just looking at the site here. It says investing for smarter future. So there you go. Sustainable jobs, power for tomorrow, and working with SMEs. I think if I was to say one negative, Henry, is that if we do hit a recession, those SMEs that they're working with, you know, we can talk now about the grief that's going on at Pizza Hut, but also the fact that Wilko's, where are they from, Will it? Your place, where? Nottingham, aren't they based in Nottingham?
They are, yes, yep.
Yeah, good old Wilko's, started up as a bargain basement shop, went a bit too far into everything else and lost their way. And now 1,200 jobs could be up the Swanee. You know what I mean? So let's open, cross everything for all those employees and not to get bought out by numerous other companies, so it doesn't look like they're going to get bought out whole. So let's hope those people find jobs going forward. But yeah, I like that one. I like the fact that in comparison to lots of other companies, they're actually up year to date. There's not many out there that are up year to date, you know, closing back to August. So 16%, and also banged out possibly half of their dividend yield already, 18%, 19% return year to date. I think a lot of investors would be happy with that.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah, good call. And you know what? You've pleased Phil as well. All in one caboodle. Sorry, Pete, go on.
Do you guys know that Wilko originated in Wilkinson Sword?
I didn't know that. Where did you find that little fact for you, Pete?
I think it was on like Ian King Sky News or something. Apparently, it's the Wilkinson family. And they did Wilkinson Sword, and it's like from 1920 or something. I didn't realize.
This is the razor blades, right? Wilkinson
Sword.
Yeah,
same family.
Yeah, didn't know that. I didn't know that connection, Pete. That's a good one.
When I heard that, because I like that. I didn't know that. I didn't know it. Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like both of us have used that on the top of our heads, by the way.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Pete, give us a stock, mate. What you've had 6 weeks, mate, 8 weeks, whatever the time frame has been. You've got to have some juicy stocks to share with us. Give us one. What you got?
Do you know what? I noticed the trend on the podcast and reading, because I've been
watching.
Oh,
you've not gone to the US.
I've been watching you.
You don't have to compete with Henry, mate. Give us a UK one. Come on.
No, what I'm going to say is sectors. I've got a sector that I think is particularly interesting. Again, it's more, well, it's a bit of a mix, actually. There's a bit of an income angle to it, but there's also a bit of a sort of steady growth angle where you don't get as much income. And that is basically around residential lettings. I think it's pretty obvious, as we all know, the population is growing much faster than the supply of houses. You've also, you know, all the other factors we've got, aging population, higher divorce rate, more people living on their own, blah, 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 blah. So there's a lot of demand. There isn't a lot of supply. That's going to mean higher rent. You know, people who are house owners are going to be in a really advantageous position compared to people like me who pay rent. Yeah. But I think the rental sector is going to do really well out of this. And there's a real widespread of things. So ones I wrote down quickly off the top of my head, you've got, well, I hold Empiric Student Property, ESP. There's also Unite Group, UTG. There used to be another. So these are student ones. Yeah, they're student accommodation, but it's got similar drivers. There used to be another one, which was GCP, I think it was called, something like that. But that one got taken over. You've then got the more specific high yield sort of housing plays, which are PRSR. Is that private rented? Hang on, let me just check what the exact name of it is. The PRSR, I think it's up around, you know, 5% dividend, that kind of PRS right, the PRS right. You've then got residential right. I think that one's another high dividend one, probably in the region of 4-5%. Then one that is in the sort of similar space to those, but it's more of the growth play, and that is Grainger, GRI. I think there's much lower dividend. You might only get about 2% or something, but I think that's the one that's probably going to grow better. So I just think that's, you know, again, in this kind of difficult market, you want the things that are going to be solid, not necessarily going to shoot the lights out. And a lot of people are after income plays. I think a lot of those fill that need pretty well, really.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
Okie dokie. Yeah, residential. I think my concern with the sector at the moment, I touched on this, I'm not sure when we did it. We spoke, probably the last podcast, actually, we talked about built house builders. Yeah, we talked about house builders in the last one.
Yeah,
and they've all been spooked by the higher interest rates and actually material costs, and with energy, as you've rightly pointed out, Pete, rising, and fuel costs rising. There are going to be more renters, possibly. Student wise, they've been laden with debt. What's the other one called? Watkin Jones is the other one that's in that space, yeah, with Empiric. Yeah. So all their shares have been absolutely hammered. I would pick out of all of those that you've mentioned would probably be Grainger. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'd probably vote for that one.
I think you've got to make a distinction. We're talking about different things here. I'm talking about companies that rent the properties out. Yeah, I'm not talking about the people who build them. And I think that's. I mean, I've been.
I know
the people who build them.
I know that, Pete. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, the interest rates, the energy costs, and everything else is going to impact the whole sector. When Persimmon has a cough, the rental sector gets hit as well.
Well,
when
interest rates go up, we look at the chart. If you look at
have a look at the charts for Empiric and Unite and Watkin Jones. They're all renting companies.
ESP. ESP.
Have a look at the chart for ESP. Have a look at the chart
ESP
for Unite.
Has gone.
Have a look at Watkins Jones.
ESP has gone sideways, very volatile for about 2 years. We know Watkins Jones has been absolutely crashed because it's a builder. It's a different kind of business.
No, it's not. It's a renter. It rents properties out, mate.
UTG has gone sideways for a year, but you're right, it's come down from a higher range into a lower range. GRI, that's one that'd be really particularly interesting. GRI is almost the same story as UTG. It's dropped down and now it's in that sideways range.
They're all waiting now, I think, the builders. And I said this last podcast, the whole sector, rental or house builder, they're all waiting to hear inflation has peaked and interest rates are not going to go any higher. It's a sector that I think is going to deliver some stellar returns at some point. I agree with you that it's a good sector, especially for people that need to rent. It's not going to go away. More and more people are not going to be able to afford to buy a house, so they're going to have to rent. I don't think students are going to stop going to uni anytime soon. So they're going to be renting from various different people that can provide them. So, yeah, it's a good sector. Is it one I would buy now? I wouldn't buy into that sector now.
Well, I guess that's the thing almost with anything we say, isn't it? It's like we're giving ideas for people that people can sort of think about and look at. And they've got to do the research and they've got to do their timing at what they think is the right time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're not necessarily saying, yeah, you buy it tomorrow, you're going to make £1 million. It's just, yeah.
Please don't. Yeah. ESP.
Henry, what are your thoughts on the rental side, of things?
Well, I've got quite a few reads.
It's one of the Midlands main beds of students, isn't it?
It's huge. Yeah. We've got two universities, Trent and Nottingham. And then you've got Loughborough down the road, Derby. You know, there's dozens of universities around us. The thing that really strikes me about student rentals and the residential rental companies, the REITs, I would have thought that they would have been absolutely trounced. I mean, I've got Warehouse REIT, I've got Shed, I've got European Logistics REIT, Labs, which is in lab space and the like, Digital Infrastructure REIT. They've all been absolutely clobbered. And the model is fairly similar. You buy an asset, you rent it out, you take the yield, you take a margin. Great. And as interest rates have gone up, the REITs have gone down. And yet, companies like Empiric Student Properties, which does a similar sort of thing, has held up far better. I was really surprised when I looked at the chart there.
I think it's because the operational performance is very good. You know, ESP have been performing operationally well. And that, when they do the NAV calculation, what has hit so many REITs is that the discount rate goes higher because the interest rates are higher. But there is a sort of, when they do the calculation of the NAV, they also allow for what is actually happening in the trading performance and the future expected trajectory of the rental payments. And I think that when they're working out the NAVs, they see the NAVs of the student property sector as being quite solid. So, yeah.
Certainly the charts will bear you out there.
Yeah, I think also as well, Pete, I think some of the ones that you've spoken about have got less debt or better terms regarding their debt.
Good point.
That's the most important thing. We've been banging on about this for months now. Yeah. If you're going to find a company, if you can find a company out there that's debt-free, happy days. If you've got one that's got its loans, its finances, its debt, et cetera, with a very low rate, and it's out there for 2027, 28, 29, 30, happy days. Because those that are coming to the market now to try and refinance, they're going to get spanked. You know, the banks are going, yeah, how much do you want? Yeah. Wallop, you know, they're gonna absolutely hammer them.
I think you've made me think of something else that's really important here. I think there's a distinction between even the companies that Henry's just talked about. There's a distinction between companies that have established their portfolios already, so they've already used cheap debt, they've bought their portfolios, they're now getting those yields from it. I think the key point here is that when they want to expand, they want to buy. So for ESP, when they want to buy more student properties, it's going to be difficult to do that because they won't be able to borrow cheap. so they might have to issue equity or whatever. So I think we might see a situation where these kind of companies don't grow their portfolios much for a while until things either soften on interest rates or the equity funding environment gets better.
I completely agree with you. Right, we touched on earlier about companies that could weather the storm or doing okay. And I've got two companies which lots of people have spoken about here historically about having pricing power. And I think that pricing power is going. And it's the reason why I pulled these two out because they're both FTSE 100 companies, which a lot of the large institutions, fund managers that have to invest regarding the FTSE would have. And the two companies I'm going to speak about now is Reckitt Benckiser, RKT, and Unilever, ULVR. And everyone knows both those companies. And if they don't, they've probably got all the brands within the house at some point or other they've utilized them. And they've got, Reckitt have got, I think the largest, if not the number one, infant formula in the world. It's called Enfamil. We've got other products that we use, but they've also got Dettol, Harpic, Nurofen, Finish dishwasher tablets, Veet, Vanish, Durex. 30 million products are sold every single day globally. Going back to the Vanish and the Durex, I think maybe, and I dare say this, people will probably kick me off the show for this, but given our current set of politicians, I think the UK electorate wish that the Vanish and the Durex were used for some of our politicians. That's my joke for the day. Ding, ding, you can take that one. All right. Okay, Henry's squirming. Right. So you've got the RKT market cap, 40.8 billion, right? A PE of 18, which given the current circumstances, I don't think that is that high. A yield of 3.28%. And I think it could go lower. The price range at the moment for Reckitt is £55.02, £62.82, and it's currently closed today at £56.78. So you can see £55.02, £56.78, so it's at a low 52-week range. I suspect it could go lower because what's happening, and I'll speak about the other one, Unilever, in a second, is that other people are going buying own brands. You see a company like BME, who sell a lot of lower brands, Aldi sell a lower own brands and so on and so forth. People are buying that because of the cost of living crisis and opting to buy the non-Dettol brand, yeah, instead. The non-Nurofen brand instead. I'll be careful about using the other products for safety-wise, but I won't mention the other product I mentioned earlier regarding the politicians. But I think pricing power is getting squeezed regarding those stocks. Some people have those in the portfolios for steady, rock-hard blue chips, but I think it could go lower. Another one is Unilever. 52-week range with that one, 37.97, 44.83, and today closed at 39.81, more or less £38, currently sitting just shy of 40. I think, again, that could go lower. They've got 400 brands around the world. Cif, Comfort, Domestos, Dove, Hellmann's, Magnum Ice Cream, Vaseline, Walls, Ben & Jerry's. No jokes about the politicians on that one.
Yeah, I was thinking Vaseline.
I won't go there. Market cap, 100 million. PE, only 14. I say only 14 because that's quite low, I think, for a massive company.
I think it is. 100 billion company.
100 million billion market cap company, 14 PE, a yield of 3.76. Eventually, even I might be tempted to buy that particular company and put it in my portfolio for a little while. But I suspect at the moment, until markets settle down and people can go back to buying the products, or will they go back to buy the products that they normally buy? Or will they buy the own brand version of Comfort or another brand of rivalry to Domestos? You know, I know some of the people, including the boys that are, you know, that do their thing, will always go and buy a particular product. The Dove boys out there and the ladies that buy Dove will always buy Dove. The people that need to use Vaseline, not going to make any jokes about that, will always buy Vaseline. So that's the way it is, you know. But some people will be going to Aldi, going to Lidl, going to Netto, going to Morrison's and not buying RKT products and brands and Unilever brands. So the share price, I personally think, could go lower, but there'll be a buying opportunity in both of those stocks. Your thoughts? Any thoughts on that, really?
Well, I mean, I think of the two, I personally would probably go for Unilever and think, I think of it as an income stock, really. You know, it's okay, it's not massive at 3.7%, but I think as we see interest rates peak and pray that, you know, in a couple of years, interest rates start to drop back, I think that will look quite attractive. RKT, the interesting thing on that one is if you look at a three-year chart, for 2.5 years, it's been going sideways in a range. And it's down towards the bottom end of that range. As you said, it's down, well, I think the bottom is about, say, just below 5,500 pence. That, I think, you know, probably would be quite a good area of support. Unilever, the interesting thing with Unilever is that today it did an amazing candlestick pattern, which is called a dragonfly doji. And I love those because they are quite a powerful pattern. And what has happened is the daily candles have gone down, 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 down. You've then opened the day, dropped loads during the day, and then recovered and closed pretty much where you opened. And that creates, it's like a hammer, but it's a special one called a dragonfly. So I think there's a good chance it might just rise off of that for the next few days. But when you look at the bigger picture on the chart, I think there is a risk that it could drop more, you know, so you might see it bounce a bit and then continue to drop like so many things do.
Cool, cool. Any thoughts on those two?
Well, I can't comment on, you know, flying rhino screwdrivers or various other technical signals. But both of those businesses, I think if you can get them at the price they're at the moment, they're quite attractive. These are very well-known, very long-established, very well-diversified businesses, great portfolio of products, and a proven track record of executing. They're the sort of thing that, to be honest, if you turned the stock market off tomorrow and you couldn't come back for 10 years, you'd probably come back in 10 years and be quite happy with how they've done. So if you're looking for some stable businesses to add to your portfolio, both of those look super attractive to me.
Yeah, they're very high quality companies without a doubt. And I think my concern is, especially with the likes of Reckitt, is the fact that, you know, we think, oh, it's a FTSE 100 company. It's a 40 billion market cap company. You know, it's huge. Actually, it's not. You know, you've got Apple in the US, obviously a completely different brand. Yeah. $2.9 trillion market cap.
Just nuts.
You know, it's like, hello, they can't hear us. Right. And you've got all the way down there at 40 billion, Reckitt, 100 billion. You've got Unilever. They're tiddlers in comparison. Yeah? How many of our FTSE 100 companies would be sitting in the top 50 global companies right now? I got this off Peston, by the way, so I'm not saying it's my thing. Anybody know the answer to that? Top world companies. How many of our companies would be in the top 50 globally?
You'd be lucky if it's five.
Give me a question.
You're going
for
five.
Henry, how many are you going for?
I'm going to say none.
Okay. The answer is two.
Wow.
Top 50 globally. One's AstraZeneca and the other one is Shell.
Amazing.
We've got two.
And are those
And we're right
two,
at the bottom. But
I was
going to
say, yeah.
Of that 50 as well.
49 and 50. Yeah.
I don't know. But honestly, I was like, wow.
I was just thinking,
scary,
right?
Scary times.
If Apple was a country, where would it rank in the countries? Because there's like, what, 170 countries. Is it like in the top 50?
GDP-wise, I think it'd be about in the top 10.
It would be bloody big, wouldn't it?
I'll have to go and have a chat. Somebody on Twitter will tell me.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Our Twitter followers, this is a question. Where would Apple rank as a country regarding its GDP versus who? Who's number 1, 2, 3, and 4? And where would Apple be as a number? Give us an answer. Reply to Pete, reply to me, reply to Henry, any one of us, and give us the answer to that one. That's a question for all you ladies and gents. Right. I'm going to have a little break here now. We need to talk about our stellar guest that we had on the last podcast. Came on, spoke to him beforehand. spoke to him during the week. Nervous. A little bit worried. What am I doing here? I don't think I should be on the show. I said, no. I said, you should definitely be on the show. He chilled out, came on the show, absolutely smashed it. And from all the feedback I've seen and heard, no one would ever know that he was even nervous. So huge congratulations to Roger Green, who came on the show. And for all of you that have followed him at Roger Green 2009 and added 60 followers to him in the past 2 weeks. Wow. And I think he's only managed 400 and odd in the past 8 years of being on Twitter. Absolutely smashed it. So some of the feedback we got from Roger, I'm going to have to start with, I'm assuming this is his wife, actually. And this is via YouTube. Commenting about the YouTube channel. So if you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. Find us on YouTube at the Conker's Corner channel on there. And it says, very informative. I always wondered where my pension was going. And that was from Jill Green. Thank you, Jill.
Absolutely brilliant.
Gem. Thank you very much. This is from Karen by the Sea at Karen WI170922279.
Hi, Karen.
Enjoyed listening to Thanks to All. Thank you, Karen. At Glenda Wheel, Up the Toffees, said, finally got a chance to listen yesterday. Very interesting as always. A few stocks for further research. I do like the Chipotle stock. It's in the Pershing Square top 10. Great to know how they are embracing the efficiencies. I like Medspace EPS growth at 40% over the last three. Both of them from Henry last week. Smashed it, Henry. Secret Accountant at The Secret ACCT, a former guest, so it's really good that he's still watching. Great episode. Enjoyed listening to the investment strategy, Roger. Thank you, Craig. Al Sharif at cap_AVI. These podcasts keep getting better. Great discussion. Praying hands. Thank you, Ali. Really appreciate that comment. And another former guest, James 1 James, at 1James1N1, commented, excellent to hear you on the podcast, Roger, and really enjoyed hearing your perspective on investing and the markets. So all hail Mr. Roger Green.
Absolutely.
I think that deserves a bit
very
of a
well done.
Round of applause. Thank you very much, Roger. I think you might have to come back, mate, after all that feedback. Right, I'm going to just carry on with this. Memphis, we've hit the grand total of 2,300. So any of you that haven't made a donation yet or would like to make another donation and enjoyed Roger's podcast, please consider making a donation at www.justgiving.com/fundraising/ Twin Peaks Challenge 23 rather than 20. We've had one recent donation, anonymous, don't know how much that amount was for. We've had Mike Singh at, I want to say Uber Mike, but it's spelt at UB3RMIK3. And he wrote, awesome job, keep the podcast coming. And he donated £10 and £2.50 gift aid. So, Mike, thank you ever so much. And lo and behold, didn't need to do this. I think he's already made a great contribution to us already. Roger made another donation. Wow. And donated £50 plus gift aid. Loving the TPI podcast. Hope that Wheelie is soon fit enough to be back in harness. Long may you continue. So there you go, Pete. There you go.
Thanks,
big fans, Roger there.
Nice one. And thanks, Anonymous. We don't know who you are, but thank you for your donation.
Thanks, everybody. Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. I'm going to go to you, Henry, with your second stop.
Oh,
are you going to
excellent.
Please fill Oakley again? Where are you going?
The lovers of the US correspondent will be pleased to know that I am back in America. We've got a £13 billion market cap global supplier of automated test equipment and, you'll like this one, Peter, robotic solutions. This company develops, manufactures and sells automatic test systems which are used to test semiconductors, wireless products, data storage devices and other complex electronic systems. If you can't guess, this is Teradyne. The ticker is TER.
Rubbing my hands together. Lovely start. Go for it.
Now, this business is a huge global player in the test and robotic solutions world. The systems that they test are hugely wide-ranging. They range between aerospace instruments, wireless technology, so we're talking routers and aerials and the like, robotic arms, robotic mobile units, and advanced robotic control software. So if you've got, you know, nightmares about the Terminator coming true, maybe one to avoid, but that aside. The company did $2 billion in revenue last year. It pays a very small dividend of about 0.5%, but that's covered seven times over. So there's plenty of space to grow for many years to come. It's on a slightly chunky PE of 26.4 times. But I think that's a very, very compelling global leader in the robotics and semiconductor testing space. I think that's well worth some of our listeners going and having a look at and doing a bit of research.
Nice one. Pete, any thoughts?
Well, the only thing that I was just having a quick look at the chart as you guys were speaking. One of the things that really strikes me about it is it's tracking almost identically the movement of the NASDAQ composite index. So I think if we're going to see the NASDAQ roll over a bit in coming weeks, which I think is very possible, we might see Teradyne roll over with it. So I think that's just something to be aware of, really. I mean, in principle, it sounds really good. What did you say the forward PE? Would you say 27?
About
26. That doesn't sound ridiculous, does it? I mean, you know, some of these great US companies, if they're growing fast enough, if they're specialist enough, then they can justify a PE of 27. So, you know, it's not cheap, but it's not ridiculous. So, yeah, I can see some appeal in that.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPEETS. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to SharePad today using the Twin Peaks promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
Yeah, good one there, Henry. Good one, good one, good one. I like that. Add all the flavours in there that I like, mate. All the spices. So I'll be looking at that, definitely. And given what, who was it? I think it was, it was Glenn the Wheel up the Toffees. He's liking his US stocks. And I know Phil Sloan likes his stocks as well in the US. So more and more people are having a little look over there because they want better investment returns and CAGR. So yeah, keep bringing them, mate. Keep bringing them. Right, Pete, I'm going to mention this stock, and I'm sure that you've mentioned this one before. But it's one that caught my eye, and the reason why it caught my eye is because of what's been going on. I'm not going to get into political rant, but I need to mention the situation with the RAAC debacle regarding the schools and what's been going on there. And with that, I thought, okay, so which companies could benefit from this? That's where I go with it. Once I've gotten over the grief of the kids not going back to school properly, parents meant to be going back to work, can't all that noise, I then think, which companies are going to potentially benefit from it? And one of the companies that I came up with as a potential company that could benefit is Mears. Yeah, it's not a massive company. Mears Group, Pete, have you heard of that one?
Henry,
have you
heard of that one? MER, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's a holding company engaged in the provision of outsourced services to the public and private sector, focuses on activities such as housing repairs, maintenance, and so on and so forth. full housing management services and care services directly related to housing provisions. But obviously they do local authority, central government, and facilities management.
Yeah.
Facilities management part of it. Maybe they'll get some work out of this, maybe they won't. But I just thought that that particular company could be of interest as a company to investigate. So, you know, we've got a company, Market Statidler, £285 million market cap. We were saying that Reckitt and Benckiser was a tiddler compared to Apple. This is the tiddler compared to Reckitt and Benckiser and Unilever. So £285 million market cap, PE of 10, yeah. Forward yield of 4%, which I think is quite tidy. And you know what? There's a divvy coming down the pipe as well regarding October time. So you could get half of the divvy or whatever it's whatever's due on that. So whether they get any work from this or not, they're working in partnership with local government and central government. I just thought potentially have a little look at that particular stock. 52-week range is 180. Top 295, currently sitting nearer the top at £2.75 and a half, and year to date the shares are up. Where am I looking? So up over the 1 year, 35%. That's going to beat most people's portfolio stocks I've got in the portfolio, I think. And year to date up 32%. It's pretty tidy for a company that no one's talking about. No one's ramping. Yeah, no one's going on a podcast talking about it relentlessly. So I just thought that'd be one to share with people. I do not own it. I've purchased another stock middle of the, where are we today? Wednesday. I think it might be Monday. I purchased a stock that I think could also benefit. But as always, I don't wrap my stocks on here. So I'll keep that to myself for the time being. So Mears, have a look. I think it's an interesting company. 4% yield and a 32% return year to date. I'd be happy with that. Henry, any thoughts?
It's a really interesting business, very high quality. You know, I've heard good things about the company. It seems to be well run, well managed, quite conservatively managed from what I know anecdotally. My only observation with it is it's a contracting business, and contracting businesses do hit bad contracts from time to time. You know, they've got revenues of nearly, I think it's nearly £1 billion and a market cap of about a fifth of that. You know, there's a reason for that. But if you are willing to hold your nose a little bit and take the risk, I think that's a good name to go and have a look at. So good shout.
Thank you. So, nice to get one every now and then. Go on, Pete, your thoughts on it.
Well, interesting. You mentioned how it's done this year. Now, I mean, the chart is a real nice one. You know, it's all gone up and it all looks great. The thing that hits me, though, I was looking on SharePad at the numbers and stuff. Forward PE 10.1, which you mentioned, but then it says 2-year forward PE 12.2. Now, PE ratios should be falling. If they're rising, that's telling us something. So I look over on the forecast page under financials, and they're actually forecasting earnings per share of 27.3. But then in 2024, they reckon that's going to fall to 22.7. Now, you could be right that the RUC debacle with school, you know, with the Aero chocolate bar building, which is just like bonkers.
Is that what you're calling it?
Yeah, it's Aero bars. That's, it's made out of Aero bars. It's like the sun comes out, it all melts. It shouldn't surprise anyone.
Oh,
you know, you don't build schools out of Aero bars. So I think Roundtree might suffer. Anyway, but yeah, so the point is, like, yeah, if they win a load of work, then maybe those forecasts are wrong. But it's interesting. The shares have done pretty damn well when the forecasts are actually showing a decline. So, I mean, the forecast could be way wrong, and hopefully that is the case for people who hold it. That's the only thing that stands. Oh, the other thing was the debt. I don't know what the debt situation is. From SharePad, it looked like they had a bit of debt.
I omitted minor, to look at that. Talking. Sorry, I omitted to look at that. Apologies. But Henry's been read up on the debt as well, so I should have looked at that, to be fair. Apologies. Henry normally looks at the debt or gives me a punch regarding the debt. So I should have looked at it myself. I will mention it on the next podcast. I will come back with a debt on that one. Okie dokie. Right. gents, what I want to do now, unless Pete's got one more start, I want to talk about the July Twin Peaks Challenge portfolio winner and the August Twin Peaks Challenge winner. Have you got another stock you wanted to share, Pete?
I'll do a quick stock for you. One that had results, I think it was this week, Gamma Communications, G-A-M-A. It's a typical story where the shares have tanked because they had problems like a year ago, a year and a half ago, whatever. It's now in that sideways range phase. The interesting thing was the recent results actually read pretty well. And it's on a forward PE of 14.4, fall into 13.4. Forward dividend 1.6%, rising to 1.7%. It's got net cash. And they said they're trading pretty well. And the history of Gamma Communications is very good. So I think it could be a company that's getting itself back on track. So I think it's a good one to look at. You got it? You got it.
It's on my watch list. It's on my watch list, Pete.
Okay, well,
it's a company that I really, really like.
Yeah.
And at the moment, I've been cautious all year. It's on my radar. I like what they're involved in. I think they're going to get scooped up at some point by somebody non-UK, sadly. And they are on my radar. And I'm waiting for the next set of news from them or some contract wins that brings them more to the fore and a bit of attention. I think the management have done so well and they've not had any sort of praise for it whatsoever. Very rarely get commented about, very rarely get discussed regarding people talking about our quality sort of companies at the lower market end. They're there. And that's unfortunate. We've talked about two stocks being taken over. Good companies, although small, they don't get any acknowledgement for what they've done and how long they've been around and how successful they've been. And then somebody from overseas goes, or private equity goes, all right, then you don't want it. We'll have it.
Yeah.
Could just be another one, I think. So yeah, good. I like that stock. I'm not biased. It's on my watch list. I haven't bought it. I think it's a good company. The one that you've looked at, Henry? Sorry, go on, Pete.
I was going to say, the interesting thing with the chart, again, so it did the fall, it's then in the sideways range. The thing I find with things like that, time to buy them is when they start breaking out of that range. If they start breaking higher and they get positive news, like you said, more order wins or something, some positive news to push it up, then that could be the time to buy it.
Absolutely. Good call. I like that one, Pete. Thank you. Henry, you're looking like you're just trying to stay awake. Are you with us, mate?
I'm still with you.
What are your thoughts on Gamma?
I really like it. It's another one, a bit like you. I know the name, very high quality business. I'm super cautious about the markets at the minute, so I'm not adding many new names to my portfolio. But yeah, it's a very high quality business. I can't say much more than that. But yeah, interesting company.
Okay, I nearly threw a joke in there about you can't say much more than that because you're absolutely intoxicated. But I won't not say it.
Don't say it. Don't say it, mate. Don't say it.
It's so unfair. No, thank you for that, Henry. Right, okay. July's winner. Henry has crunched the numbers. He actually did that last night or today. He's done absolutely well to crunch these numbers for us. And we're here, ladies and gents. We are going to talk about the July winner. We're just going to, because we're nearly done an hour already, we're just going to go straight to the numero uno, the winner of the July portfolio. And that chap, it is a chap, at Paul BAI123. And for July, got a 46% return on his portfolio after Henry crunched all those numbers. And the reason why he got a 46% return is because of Spectra Systems. This is all going back to July, folks, so bear that in mind. Ticker symbol SPSY, InSig AI, Skin Biotherapeutics, ticker symbol SBTX, Optibiotechs Health, OPTI, and Orchard Funding Group, ticker symbol ORCH. Now, Paul, I'm hoping that you've already listened to the podcast several times historically, so you'll know you can be able to choose right now one book from the 15 that we've been given by our sponsors, Harriman House. So select a book, send me, reply to one of the tweets that I put out, the first one I put out, which will be on Friday afternoon, reply to that and say, hi, Conkers, I would like this book. And then also I will contact you and then we'll have a conversation. I'll hook you up with ShareScope and they will also give you 1 month access to the ShareScope SharePad platform for you to try out if you don't already own it. If not, they'll try and sort something out to give you the financial reward for that. Okie doke. So congratulations, Paul. Well, very well done. And 46% for July. Woohoo! When even more profit warnings were going. That's pretty exceptional. Right. August's winner is at BluePill979. So, yeah, I think he took the blue pill and he got a rise. That's a bit rude, but we'll move on. Paul got 21% return for August with Novasight, NCYT, and IQAI, which is IQAI Limited, Bidstack, Osirium Technologies, and HVivo. 21% return for August. Again, exceptional. Blue Pill, I hope you listen to the podcast historically. You'll also have access to select one of the books that are being out there. We've got a few of them here. I might as well show a few. I'm sure we've got it. We've got Algie's book in there, I think. We've got Algie's book in the stack. We've got Phil's book, How to Pick Quality Shares. We've got John Stepek as well to choose from. We've got Mr. Clapham's book as well, which I haven't got in front of me right now. So choose from those 15 and all the rest of it. Yeah, congratulations to you both. And good luck regarding the whole competition as well, which will be running until December. So, and that's when you get the big prize with Powder Monkey Brewery and all 15 books and a year subscription and whatever else we can get for you. So both of you, very, very well done. Congratulations. That's me almost done, unless Wheelie and Henry.
I know Paul Bailey. The guy is a legend on ABFM boards. I've met him. Great guy. So I'm so pleased that Paul won it. I don't know Blue Pill, but I'm pleased you won it as well. And can we also mention Powder Monkey Brewery, which is doing the grand prize and whatever for everybody. You can get 5% discount. If you go to their website, Powder Monkey Brewery, put it in the Google or whatever, you can get 5% off any of the booze, and it's good stuff. Proper, you know, tasty beer. So yeah, it's good.
Absolutely. And if you're down that way near Gosport, they've got an Oktoberfest going on at the end of September, beginning that weekend, beginning of October. So if you're around that sort of area, get yourself down there. They'll be absolutely on it. And you have your choice of about a dozen different beers, I think, and other guest beers and ales as well. I'm almost tempted to go myself, but as like Henry, although I'm about 2 decades older than Henry, my body just can't take it anymore. I'll lose a day or two. The thought's there, but the body just can't take it. Right. The last comment I want to make is this book here. I've just finished reading it. I recommend everybody go and get a copy. Get it. Ask your library to order it or buy it yourself. It's called Share Power. How ordinary people can change the way that capitalism works and make money too. It's about democracy of shareholders' rights, essentially. And as we own a stake in every company, every 50 quid, 50 grand, whatever we invest in the company, we've got rights too. It's not just down to the larger RNS shareholders or the director or the CFO or the CEO to be making decisions regarding what the company's going to do. It's also down to us. Yeah. So yeah, Marion Somerset Webb, that everyone knows from Money Week and Bloomberg, is the author of this little short read. So yeah, that's the book I'm recommending for everyone to go and have a little read of. That's us done. Any comments? Wheelie, you want to go first?
Well, I'll tell you what, it is so nice to be back, guys, and it's lovely to see you go, and it's great seeing you here. Hopefully we'll have Alex back on soon, and it'd be great to see him again as well. And hello to all the listeners. And viewers. Cool. And viewers as well.
And viewers too, yeah. Get yourselves on YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube. Henry?
Please hit that subscribe button on YouTube, because we're trying to get to 1,000 followers. So even if you don't watch us on YouTube, But if you've got a YouTube account, which most of us have, please go on to our thing and just hit subscribe. It's on the Conker's Corner. So you need to go to Conker's Corner channel, hit subscribe, and that would just help us get over the 1,000 because we want to try and grow the podcast and whatever.
Cool. Henry, comments?
Lovely to have Pete back. It's been lovely. I've had some lovely comments as well from various listeners. One little ask. When I was doing the numbers for the Twin Peaks show, the competition even, we've got over 160 people that took a few minutes to send us their share picks for the portfolio. If even 10% of you donate to the Memphis charity, it would make a huge difference. If you've got 10 minutes to send us your 5 picks, you've got 10 minutes to go and donate £5 to the charity. So please, if you've got 5 minutes, just go and drop us a few pounds. Drop the charity a few pounds. It'll make a world of difference to a very deserving cause.
Thank you very much for saying that. I really appreciate that, and absolutely agree with your comments there. And we'll be back in 2 weeks' time, ladies and gents. I hope the markets are kind to you. I hope this warmer weather that we're getting continues for everybody, and that you're able to get out and enjoy the weather a bit longer before we get the bleak months of November and December. And we will hopefully, fingers crossed, have our good chum Alex de Groot back in 2 weeks' time, and you'll have a quartet. You know, I feel like I need to start orchestrating and start playing the violin or something. I'm gonna have four on the stage, but like you say, four different perspectives regarding the stock. Hopefully that helps, and you know, you guys can continue to enjoy what we're trying to deliver here, which is unbiased, objective comments regarding stocks, and we're not going to ramp them. So thank you ever so much for listening to this particular podcast. Please subscribe, please give us your feedback, good or bad, regarding it, and please continue to listen and support us, and we'll strive to continue and give you lots more interesting insights. Take care. God bless you all. Live life to the full. Look after whoever you can and show some kindness. Take care. God bless you all.
Bye.
Bonne chance.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit shareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.